Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Harry was the ideal broadcaster and the face of the franchise more than any player. Harry enjoyed the game. He was every man with a microphone.
What made my grandfather so successful was, even though the team wasn't good, he sold fans on the idea of Wrigley Field as a palace. You've got to come. Have a great time. Can't beat fun at the old ballpark.
On February 18th, the Cubs organization, the city of Chicago, and the sport of baseball experienced the loss of a legend. Harry Carey spent 16...
I didn't know my grandfather very well. He was very excited that he and I were going to get to be not just colleagues, but grandfather and grandson. This is a guy that watched Jackie Robinson break in. This is a guy that saw every at-bat of Stan Musial's career. He knew everything and knew everyone in the game, and I never really got the opportunity to absorb that baseball encyclopedia. To have that taken away so suddenly was heartbreaking.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. God, great to hear Harry's voice, and we're delighted to welcome in Chip Carey. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Chip, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Chip.
Doing great, guys. How are you?
We're enjoying life. Certainly enjoyed watching that. I thought I was surprised a little bit by it because I should have understood when it said long gone summer that it was going to be about the summer and not about the fallout afterward. But I remember that summer very well. I'm sure you remember it probably better. But my goodness, it was weird. It was very transportive to watch that and to kind of relive it in your mind and remember just how crazy things were.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was fun. As I've said to a couple of other guys, for me personally, bittersweet. The clips you just played before I joined you explain why, and that's been hashed out a zillion times, so we don't need to go over that ground again. But from a broadcasting perspective and from just a human standpoint, for me, it was like jumping on a roller coaster halfway down the mountain. You know, it was a wild, fast, fun ride and total immersion and total welcome by Chicago and my broadcast partners Steve Stone and Arnie Harris and so many other great people on that crew. It was an unforgettable summer for a lot of different reasons, and one I'll never forget. And for me, one of my top three baseball seasons that I've had the good fortune of covering all time.
Chip, for me, it was difficult to decide who was better dressed. You were Sammy, because it was pretty much a good showdown.
I like Sammy's suit. He looked good.
And we just talked to him, and he sounds good. And, you know, I think that he had a lot of – he might have had his own motivations that he kept to himself. Or why would he do this? And I wondered what you thought after watching it, how much it might have helped him. Because, obviously, you know Chicago. You know the strained relationship with the Cubs organization. Do you think that you watched a documentary that eventually will help him repair that relationship?
I hope so. I firmly believe that time heals all wounds. It's a cliche, but it's because there's a whole lot of truth in it, number one. Number two, I think everybody would agree that Sammy walking out on the club on the last day of the 04 season wasn't the right thing to do, but really we're going to hold that against a guy, and that's going to be the basis for estrangement, or one of the bases for estrangement. You know, the PED stuff, look, I'm not in a position to say who was using and who wasn't. The man says he didn't do it. He has stood by that. He has not flip-flopped once. And so unless someone's going to come out flatly and call him a liar, which I'm not prepared to do when so many other guys have lied about it, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. And then you factor in all that Sammy Sosa did for the city of Chicago, as you mentioned, and the Cubs organization, for me personally, certainly, as the team's broadcaster. It just seems kind of small and petty, especially with everything else that's going on in the world. I think we all need some good news. I think we all need, shall we say, some semblance of forgiveness. And accept the fact that people of all stripes make mistakes, and instead of banishing them and firing them and chopping their heads off, why don't we embrace them with open arms and say, look, let's not do it again, but let's move forward and do what's right. And I hope, in my opinion, as just a fan of the game, that'll happen. It just doesn't make sense to me that one of the all-time greatest hitters in the history of the Cubs franchise is estranged for whatever reason. That shouldn't happen, and I'd like to think that'll be rectified in the near future.
You know, I think it's real easy to blame the players for everything that happened, and it's not surprising that different players get blamed, but there was sort of a feeling that baseball was turning a blind eye to any issue that was happening because they were trying to win the fan base back to the game, and that somehow the steroid era, at least initially, was good for the game, was good for baseball because, the ad was when you think about it, the idea that, you know, confession is good for the soul, I believe, is in the Bible. Does that one have to follow the other? That seems to be what the holdup is. The Cubs want Sammy to come forward and confess to all sins, and then they'll welcome back to the fold. Is that what the holdup is?
I can't answer that. I don't work for the Cubs, and I don't own the team, and I'm certainly not in Sammy's shoes. I think the part of this that we all forget is that when the quote-unquote steroid era began, it wasn't illegal. Let's start there, right? So we're judging players, I think, by a couple of different sets of rules. One, it wasn't illegal, and then it was, right? So if guys were doing it after it was illegal, and remember, there was a lot of pushback. The union didn't want testing. They didn't want the players to have blood taken, all that kind of stuff, because I think everybody had an idea that this was going on. But everybody was also worried about what it would do to the game. And I think they were proven right with regards to that, because we're still talking about it 25 years later. But as far as your point, what's the holdup? What's the position for the Cubs or Sammy Sosa? I'm in no position to say that. I'm just talking to you as a fan and someone who understands and recognizes what Sammy Sosa did for baseball, what he did for the city following, the end of Michael Jordan's tenure with the Bulls, and what he did for the Cubs. And I think that I think most people would come down on that side of, you know what, the guy's a Cub. Let's celebrate him, and let's thank him, and let's welcome him back into the family. If Mark McGwire can do it in St. Louis, why can't Sammy Sosa do it in Chicago? I think the time for this, in my opinion, has gone way, way past, and I'd like to see that happen, obviously.
And Chip, given the power of Sammy's personality, the charisma, how magnetic it is, I was surprised in watching this documentary how much focus was on Mark McGwire. And I guess I wondered if it was because McGwire was a little bit more open and maybe introspective, or for whatever reason, I don't know how they put this together. But how would you describe the evolution of the McGwire you saw in 98 and what you watched last night?
My impression of the show, and I saw the last 45 minutes or so. My wife and I had an engagement last night, so we got home a little bit late. But look, Mark hit more home runs, so he's the guy that had the record. So he's the guy that should have been, I guess, at the forefront of it. And that sort of mirrored the way that entire season went. If you recall, Sammy was always smiling and happy, saying, look, Mark's the man. Mark's the man. He had a big home run lead, and Sammy caught him in June, and then the race was on the rest of the summer. And Sammy, I think, led the home run race for one day, before the final weekend when Big Mac went off against Montreal in St. Louis. But that's sort of the way their relationship was. Mark was very quiet and introspective. I've heard a couple of interviews with him about the special and about that season, and it was very difficult for him. He was not used to that kind of attention. And obviously doing what he did meant that he was going to have to answer to 75, 100 camera people every single day, or ask, well, why didn't you hit a home run today, right? I mean, that's just so unrealistic when you understand how hard it is to play baseball. But Sammy embraced that. Sammy was very street smart. I think he realized that Chicago, in my opinion, was kind of going under a superstar vacuum with Michael, you know, ending his reign in Chicago, and baseball was looking for that kind of personality in that town. And Sammy, with his, you know, his kisses to the camera, the home run hop and all that kind of stuff, really broke out and gave Cubs fans something hopeful to think about, not just the home run chase, but getting to the playoffs, which they did, and that this guy was on the cusp of becoming a superstar and was one of their own. And I think that's why the 98 season, from Sammy's perspective, was great. And I think McGuire saw that and started to embrace it and realize that, you know what, this should be fun because this may never happen again. And I think at the end, McGuire did embrace that with Sammy's help. And I think ultimately it helped both of them in that final weekend of the season.
You're listening to Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. We're talking to Chip Carey, and we've got a couple more minutes. And Chip, I guess as I look back on that summer and think about the home run derby between Sammy and Mark McGuire, I can't help but feel that I was naive at the time, that I didn't have all the information, that I was somewhat duped and during the whole thing, because I was buying into it and I was having a lot of fun and I was watching it, and we were certainly seeing the every home run by the end of the thing was being broadcast. You know, you'd see it on the crawl or whatever was going on in those days. Did you feel that way in retrospect? Did you feel like we were given a raw bill of goods?
I don't. I don't live my life in 2020 hindsight. I enjoyed the moment immensely. 98, as I said, was one of my favorite baseball years to cover because, to your point, yeah, I was probably really naive about it. I didn't want to think that this was. I think we all want to believe that everything we see is real. It's not artificial, and it came to pass that some of it was, and that's unfortunate. But the way I rationalize that is, we don't know everybody who was taking, and so. At the end of the day, if you think it was just Sammy Sosa or Mark McGuire or Rafael Palmeiro or Roger Clemens, that's the essence of naivete. And if you're worried about a level playing field, if a lot of guys were taking it and were hitting home runs, but I promise you a lot of guys were also taking it and throwing 100 miles an hour out of the bullpen 4 days in a row and throwing 30 or 40 pitches. So I think the playing field was level. I don't feel duped. I enjoyed the moment. I enjoyed it immensely. And at the end of the day, if there was a magic pill that could let you hit the ball like they hit it, more guys would be taking it than not. You still have to do it. It was an unbelievable accomplishment, an unbelievable skill, chemically enhanced or not. And for what baseball needed in 98 and for what it meant to me and my family and those who just love the game, I have no, for me, there's no tarnish or shine taken away from anything those guys did on the field.
All right, Chip, before we let you go, enough looking back. Let's look ahead. Will we get clarity on the state of Major League Baseball later today, and what do you expect the season to look like? Will it be the 48-game truncated season that Rob Manfred mandates, or will it be more than that?
Well, God, I hope so, because I'm sure, like you, I'm sick and tired of waiting and wondering when the hell we're going back to work. It's frankly embarrassing that it's gotten to this point, in my humble opinion. And as far as what they'll do, I was listening to Jim Bowden on MLB Network Radio the other day, and he made a great point. He said they have a chance to really irritate everybody and implement a 50-game schedule with no expanded playoffs and give everybody their full pay, or they can find a way to pay the players and give them 70 games, have a legitimate season, and have a chance to work together going forward. If recent history is anything to look at, my guess is we're going to get 52 games implemented, no playoffs, and a very cold winter and very cold 2021 season before the end of the labor agreement comes to pass for Major League Baseball, and that's a shame. They got to start thinking about fans, guys, and until they do that, they're going to be in a world of hurt.
Chip, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Great stuff.
Okay, guys, thanks so much. Be well.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.